in Santa Barbara, and they are both first-year students. Yeah. anyway, so I will give a brief review about the field theory description about SPT, especially focusing on the very well-known Hodan phase, the spin Wang chain in one dimension. And then I'm gonna I will focus on how to derive the wave function of the SPT phase using those field theory. And then I'm gonna talk about 2D and 3D SPT phases, some examples which I can really use the field theory to derive some non-trivial wave function for these SPT phases. And also I'm gonna talk about the line defects in three-dimensional SPT phase. So we know that for SPT phase, by definition, if I have a three-dimensional SPT phase, it means that its two-dimensional boundary must have non-trivial spectrum. So here I wanna show that in many cases, if I have a three-dimensional SPT phase and I insert a line defect, this line defect can be viewed as the one-dimensional defect of the three-dimensional SPT phase, the one-dimensional line defect. Usually can also be, must also be gapless or degenerate. It also protected by the symmetry of the system. And if there's time, I realize there's a break of my talk. So if there's time, I'm gonna talk about some of my older work about the 3D SPT with SUN symmetry. This actually is a generalization of the Hodan phase to higher dimension. It's better than AKLT state, so in some way. So. Yeah, okay, so SPT phase, by definition, so this is a definition based on phenomenology. It means the bulk must be fully gapped and non-degenerate, and also means that with certain symmetry, the boundary must be either gapless or degenerate, and also the boundary cannot be realized as a lower dimensional lattice system with the same symmetry. The example is a two-dimensional quantum spin hole, three-dimensional topological insulator. They're all free-forming example for SPT with time reversal symmetry. So in this talk, I will focus on bosonic SPT phase. And the simplest bosonic SPT phase is a well-known one-dimensional Hodan phase, which can be realized in one-dimensional spin one chain. For every spin one, I can formally decompose into two spin one half, and every spin one half can form a singlet with one of its neighboring spin. So now if I cast the system at the boundary, there will be one spin one half with nothing to pair with. It means the boundary will have a spin one half dangling spin one half degeneracy as the boundary. So actually, I think the most beautiful part of the story is that this Hodan phase can be described by a very beautiful field theory. It's a semi-classical field theory, a semi-classical nonlinear sigma model. Semi-classical means that the field in the field theory is a semi-classical Neon order parameter. So in one that means, okay, so for SU2 spin system or SO3 spin system, the Neon order parameter has the manifold S2, it's a two-dimensional sphere. So this means that if I define a 1 plus 1 dimensional field theory, I can write down a theta term. Theta term look like this. So the theta term exists because the pi 2 S2 equals z. Okay. Because of this, I can write down a theta term. And actually, if theta equals 2 pi, the field theory describes the Hodan phase. So I can actually derive the boundary spin half using this theta term in the bulk. The easiest way to do that is to take a CP1 representation of the O3 vector n, and then we can see that a theta term will become a U1 f mu nu theta term. Then according to Coleman, when theta is between pi and 3 pi, there's a boundary chart as a boundary, and boundary chart corresponds to spin half CP1 field. So it means that the bulk theta equal 2 pi means that the boundary has some degeneracy. Okay, so I will try to convince you that in many, many SPT in a higher dimension, they can all be described by this kind of semi-classical nonlinear sigma model with a theta term, with the appropriate theta term. Okay, so before I do that, let me first clarify something about theta term. So what does theta term really mean? Okay, so the standard textbook interpretation of theta term is that theta term contributes a phase factor e to y theta in the partition function. When you calculate a partition function, you consider instanton in your space-time, then for every instanton, you have an e to y theta coming from this theta term. So this is a textbook interpretation. This interpretation certainly is correct, however, it's very incomplete in the following sense. Because actually, when you calculate a partition function, you always take a periodical boundary condition along time direction. The time has a periodical boundary condition. But once you do that, you lose a lot of information. Actually, what tells you is that theta equals 0 and 2 pi tell you they have the same spectrum, the same partition function. However, theta equals 0 and 2 pi can have very, very different wave function. I try to argue that when theta equals 0, the theory will give you the wave function of a trivial insulator. When theta 2 pi, the wave function will be an SPT wave function. So let me show you how that is done. Let me try to calculate the wave function using the field theory. So how do I calculate wave function using field theory? I can calculate some matrix element which looks like this. So this is a ground state wave function. I calculate the matrix element sandwiched between the ground state wave function and two different configuration of the field. Okay, two different configuration of the field. So this matrix element can be calculated using the path integral, using the same action, but I fix tau equals to plus infinity equals to one configuration, tau equals to minus infinity equals another configuration. Okay, this is a very well defined path integral way of calculating the matrix element. So once I calculate the matrix element, I can, because this is a wave function, see, this is a wave function. So using the matrix element, I can derive the wave function of the system. Okay, so now you can see that in order to extract the wave function information from field theory, I have to keep the time direction open. And once I do that, the theta equals 0 and 2 pi, they no longer give you the same answer anymore because the boundary is open now. Okay, you don't have a periodic boundary condition. Okay, see, so here, for this very simple 1 plus 1 dimension O3 non-linear model, in the limit where g goes to infinity, if I take the coupling constant g to infinity, in this limit, I can write down the exact ground state wave function for both theta equals 0 and theta 2 pi. When theta equals 0, because this action is just completely trivial, then when g goes to infinity, the ground state wave function is this. It's the equal weighted superposition of all the configuration of the O3 vector n without any phase vector. Okay? Turns out this wave function precisely is the direct product state. It corresponds to angular momentum L equals 0 everywhere in the entire one-dimensional system. So this phase, I mean, this system with theta equals 0 describes the direct product spin 0 chain, okay? Because L equals 0 everywhere in the one-dimensional lattice. But if theta equals 2 pi, then because of a theta term, the wave function derived from this matrix element will look like this. It is still a superposition of all the configuration of vector n, but now there's a phase factor. Okay, now the phase factor is different from this one by a phase factor. So what does the phase factor look like? Okay. So,
on the trivial wave function, so this is a, should I think about the spin one, and this is the m equals zero spin one?
No, no, it's not. I mean, so this is a totally SU2 invariant system.
Total spin.
Yeah, total spin. Yeah, total spin L is zero. Yeah, total spin L is zero. So it's a spin zero chain. It's not spin one chain. It's a spin zero chain. Yeah, total spin. Yeah, anyway, so okay, so now this field n is a mapping from my one-dimensional space to a target space. So one-dimensional space, the real space, I can make it a ring, one-dimensional ring. So that means that n as a function of x is a mapping from the one-dimensional ring to the two-dimensional S2 target space. So this phase factor derived from the theta term is precisely proportional to the area enclosed by this image of the mapping. It's the area enclosed by the image of the mapping. So you can recognize that this phase factor is precisely the real space version of a Weissmann-Witten term. Okay? It means that this phase factor is actually a real space version of the Weissmann-Witten term. So this means that now we have a wave function of theta 2 pi and also a wave function of theta 0, and we can prove they are orthogonal to each other. We can actually prove that these wave functions are orthogonal to each other. So it means that these two states are very different. Okay? So it means theta 0 and 2 pi, they give you the same partition function, but give you different wave functions. Okay? Different wave function. Okay? So this is the main message in the introduction. So now let me try to use the same strategy to study a higher dimensional SPD and try to use the field theory to derive the wave function for higher dimensional SPD. So let me go to just the one dimension higher. Let me go to two dimension, okay, and study.
Can you use this trick to get the wave function of half integer spin?
No, because half integer spin, see, half integer spin is gapless. So I cannot take g to infinity, right? So here actually requires a bulk B gap, so I can take g to infinity. So I can, you know, then everything will be exactly right. I mean, for gappy system is harder, much harder. Yeah. Okay, so let me go to one dimension higher and think about what is the easiest or simplest bosonic SPT in 2+1 dimension. Turns out that the simplest one is studied by Michael and Zheng Chen. It's a 2D SPT with a Z2 symmetry. And they actually have a lattice model for it. They also write down the lattice wave function. The lattice wave function is that the wave function for the Z2 SPT is the superposition of all the configuration of the Ising variable, but there's a minus one to the domain one number. See, because SPT is the Ising disordered phase. So naively one would expect the wave function is some superposition of all the Ising configuration, all the domain wall configuration. But if I just write down a trivial quantum Ising model or transfer field, then it grounds that wave function will be a superposition of all the domain wall configuration without any sign, without any sign fluctuation. So non-trivial thing here is that this wave function, the SPT wave function, it's a summation, it's a superposition for all the domain wall configuration with a minus one to the domain wall number. Okay, this sign is what makes the wave function non-trivial. So I will try to propose that.
Yes, can you just remind me, since you showed this 2D case, the previous 1D case, if you have a C that could be 2 pi times 1, what's the wave function from?
Yeah, this.
So in the sense of this spin configuration, can you
spin?
So previous slide. That one you have no topological
chain. This one?
Yes.
This oh, this is just L equals zero. It's a spin zero chain. Right. No, okay. I mean, all you can imagine, you have two spin and a half and a couple of the antiferromagnetically. Right, so every side is so. So every run will be a spin singly. So this state describes that coupled spin one half chain with the spin zero on every run.
It's like the electrons operating in S wave orbital.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hard to write down in terms of the real. You see, if you write it in terms of L space, it's going to be a highly entangled. It's a superposition of many, many, many states, right? So that's why this is the direct product state. This is not. So if you write in terms of L, it's going to be a superposition of many, many.
But there is
sometimes the AKLT state. AKLT state. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then you have to fractionalize it. So
yeah, that's the only way to write it.
Anyway, so okay, the goal here is to try to use a field theory to derive this wave function here. So we propose that the field theory for this Z2 SPT in two dimension is actually this field theory. It's a 2+1 dimension non-Ising model with an O4 vector, with a 4-component vector, and a 4-component vector will form a manifold S3. It's a 3-dimensional manifold. So because phi now is a mapping from 2+1 dimensional spacetime to a 3-dimensional manifold, I mean 3-dimensional targeting manifold, so there can be instanton. So I try to claim that, so it means that we can write down a theta term in the theory. So we try to claim that when theta equal to 2 pi, this action describes this Z2 SPT once I reduce the SO4 symmetry to Z2. Okay, so this field has an artificially large symmetry. So we have to eventually turn on some term, you know, extra term to break the SO4 symmetry to the Z2 symmetry. So what I mean is that because there's no SO4 symmetry, the four components here will have a different energy scale. Okay, some component will have a higher energy than the other. So the strategy is that we will derive the wave function for the four component vector, and I integrate out the high energy components one by one. And eventually I'm just left with one component. And that one component will give you this wave function. Okay, this is the overview for the calculation. So let me do that. So,
why have S
equal
instead of O4?
Oh, because the Z2, so eventually I want to break the Z2. So Z2 corresponds to change the sign of all four components. And that Z2 is a subgroup of SO4. Yeah, so I only need SO4. Yeah. Okay.
You have understanding from this language that the theta to 4 pi is a trivial.
Yeah, I can understand, but I mean, I don't have a slide for that, but I can show you. Actually, you can couple two of them together. You can show that 4.0 has a continue. I mean, has no transition in between. Can be continuous. Yeah.
In principle, you can get differences by taking different Z2
tokens. Maybe I didn't try that, but in terms of Xiaogang's table, actually, it's the only mistake. So. Well, anyway, so this is how it's done, right? So first I write down a wave function for the four component vector. So now the four component vector phi is a mapping from a 2-dimensional space to the 3-dimensional target space. Again, I'm mapping a S2 to S3. Okay. So just like the 1-dimensional case. So now the wave function is a superposition of all the configuration of a phi vector with the real space Westminster Witten term. So this real space Western Witten term is a mapping from S2 to S3. It's proportional to the area on S3 enclosed by the S2. Okay? Just a real space Western Witten term. So it's just very much like the O3 case I discussed.
How do you know you could waste
which part of the separation?
Oh, they are equivalent because they give the same face. I mean, because the coefficient is quantized.
Okay.
You can choose this or that, they are the same, give the same face angle. Yeah. I mean, because the number is quantized. Well, anyway, so now let me reduce the symmetry from SO4 to SO3 cross Z2 first. So Z2 means that I change the sign of all four components. SO3 means it's a three-dimensional rotation of these three components of the n vector. Okay. So now, as I said, the four components will have different energy scale from each other. So let me assume that phi zero has a higher energy than the other components. So this means that the O4 vector phi prefers to lie in the equator of the S3. Okay. Prefers to lie along the equator of the S3. And the equator is S2. Okay. The equator of S3 is S2.
Why can you flip it by not by itself?
Sorry?
Did you say that Z2 acts on by not by changing the sign?
No, Z2 change the sign of all four components.
Okay.
Yeah, all four components. Yeah. Okay, so now it means that at a low energy, the mapping just from an S2 space to a targeted manifold, which is also S2. Okay. So now it means this mapping again has Skirmian. The mapping again has a Skirmian. So now it means that this wavefunction reduced to a superposition of all the configuration of O3 vector n with a minus one to a Skirmian number. Minus one to a Skirmian number. Okay, this wavefunction reduced to this one. Once I integrate out of phi zero, okay, this reduces this one. It's a configuration, it's superposition of all the configuration of n with a minus one to a Skirmian number. Okay, okay. So what does Skirmian look like? Oh yeah. Again, take a G2 infinity. Okay, again, take the G2 infinity. Take the deep insulator limit. Deep insulator limit. Yeah. Well, anyway, so. Yeah, so what does Skirmian look like? In two dimensions, suppose I have a SO3 rotation symmetry, then Skirmian look like this. Okay, the inside pointing up, outside pointing down, and it continuously rotated from up to down. This is what Skirmian look like. Okay? But now remember, my system only have a Z2 symmetry, doesn't have SO3. So let me still break the SO3 to Z2 and assume that the system favors to align the Z direction. So now you can see that this Skirmian become a domain wall. Become a Z2 domain wall, right? Just becomes, I mean, here it'll become all up, outside become all down, and just suddenly change from up to down. Okay? So this means that the wave function, this wave function, if I only have Z2 symmetry, precisely reduced to the wave function Michael and Zheng Cheng wrote down, it's a summation of all the configuration of the NZ component with a minus one to the domain wall number, because domain wall is by Skirmian number. Okay? So it means that the field theory actually works, okay? Give you the same, give you the correct wave function. Also, using the same field theory, we can also say that, we can also easily prove that by coupling the field theory to a Z2 gauge field, the Vison must be semi-S. So this is also one conclusion in their lattice model. But actually, using field theory, it's very easy to show that. You know, couple the field theory to some other field theory by integral the field theory to some mutual semi-S.
Also, the SPT phase
that
has no non-trivial.
No, but I'm saying if I gauge it, if I couple it to the extra gauge field.
You're getting the
echo force? No, just couple phi to a Z2 gauge field. Yeah, if I add some more things to the theory, if I couple to them from Z2 gauge field, then integrate out of phi, I'm going to generate.
Vison of the flux tube in the
Z2
gauge.
Yeah, precisely. Vison of the flux tube in the Z2 gauge. Yeah, it's going to be semi. Okay, so this is a two-dimensional example. Okay, so now let me talk about a three-dimensional example. So this is the. You know, so this is like the most popular three-dimensional example. It's a U1 cross U1. This is semi-direct product. Okay. So it's first study by Ashving and Sento. And they wrote down this very nice field theory. It's a 3+1 dimensional O5-dimensional sigma model with a theta term. And the claim is that when theta goes 2 pi, when theta goes 2 pi, this field theory describes a three-dimensional SPT. So now the five component vector n correspond to an Ising order parameter phi zero, which changes the sign under time inversal, and also contains a real and imaginary part of two boson, real and imaginary b1 and b2. Okay, and also under z2 time inversal transformation, under time inversal transformation, the imaginary b1 and b2 they both change sign. Okay, so it means that entirely the action does not change anything under time inversal symmetry. Okay, so now we can play the same trick. Let's try to use the same method to derive a wave function for this SPT phase. Again, we calculate the matrix element using the path integral, get fixed target plus infinity equals one configuration, might equal another configuration. Try to calculate the matrix element using the path integral and then write down the wave function. So just like what we did before, the wave function will look like this. So now the n vector is a mapping from a three-dimensional space, which now I can make it S3, to our target manifold, which is a four-dimensional space. Okay, so it's a mapping from S3 to S4. And this phase vector proportional to the area enclosed by the image of this mapping. Okay. Again, let me assume that phi zero has a slightly higher energy than other components. It means that I can just integrate out of phi zero. It means that now the O phi vector n wants to stay on the equator. Now the equator becomes S3. So now the mapping is from S3 to target S3. So it can still have Skirmian. So now this wave function reduced to this one. It's a superposition of all the configuration of the four component vector phi with a minus one to the Skirmian number. Okay, Skirmian number is the S3 to S3 mapping Skirmian number. Okay. But again, this theory has a much larger symmetry in the actual system. Let me again reduce the symmetry from SO4 to actual symmetry. Actual symmetry U1 cross U1 corresponds to a rotation between phi1, phi2, and also rotation between phi3, phi4. So once I reduce the symmetry from SO4 to U1 cross U1, the SO4 Skirmian becomes this. Okay? SO4 Skirmian becomes two linked vortex. So I can have one vortex for one boson U1, another vortex for another U1 boson, and if the two vortices, they link with each other, then this corresponds to 104 Skirmian. We can calculate the Skirmian number, it's gonna give you one, okay, correspond to that. So this means that now if I reduce the symmetry U1 cross U1, the wave function becomes a superposition of all the configuration with a minus one to the linking number between the two vortex loops, two flavors of vortex loops. Okay? So what does this wave function tell us? I'm missing a slide here. Yeah, this is the, yeah, okay. So this wave function, this wave function shows that suppose the two vortex lines, they end as a boundary. If we consider two vortices as a boundary, it means that the vortex lines, they end as a boundary. And then take one vortex endpoint all the way around another, like all the way around another, then this configuration can be continuously deformed into this one, into the F1. And this one, compared with the starting point, just create a linked vortices. So because of my wave function, it means that this will contribute a phase factor minus one. This means that if I take one vortex boundary and all the way around another, I gain a phase factor minus one. It means that the two vortices as the boundary will become mutual semians. Okay, will become mutual. So this is also a prediction by Ashman and Sinto, which can be derived from the wave function. Okay, so now let me reduce the U1 cross U1 symmetry down to just one U1. If I reduce to just one U1, namely I consider SPT phase with the U1 semi-direct little time inversal. So now you can imagine two vortex, these are bound together, become one ribbon, become two edges of one ribbon. So now the wave function will become a superposition of all the vortex ribbon configuration, but there's a minus one to the self-twisting of the vortex ribbon, okay, the minus to the self-twisting of the ribbon. Okay, so what does this tell us? Turns out that this implies that if the vortex ribbon can end in the bulk, it means again, let me couple the U1 charge to a gauge field. Let me couple the U1 charge to an external gauge field. And consider, I mean, so now the vortex can end in the bulk. So the end point will be vortex source, can also be viewed as a monopole, direct monopole. Okay? So now if the vortex ribbon can end in the bulk, if I exchange them, this configuration can again be continuously deformed through these steps to this configuration. So this configuration compared with this one, just a twisting one ribbon by 2 pi. Okay, this configuration just twisting one ribbon by 2 pi. Again, based on my wave function, should gain a minus one sign. Okay? So here I want to emphasize one thing, which is that so all the wave functions are derived in the limit where g goes to infinity. So G is the coupling constant. G controls the energy scale of charge excitation. If I take G to infinity, it means that the system really does not want to have a charge excitation. Okay, really doesn't want charge excitation. It means that all the vortex source here, they are charge neutral. Okay? They are charge neutral vortex sources. Okay, so based on Max and Matthew and also Charlie's work, the Dirac monopole in a 3D bosonic topological insulator If the charge neutral, it must be fermion. So here we have the same conclusion. If the charge neutral, then must be fermion. Okay. So that means that we can actually use my field theory to derive the wave function, which implies a lot of physics of this boson SPT phase. Okay. Actually, we can keep going. We can actually derive many other wave function.
Just one component boson.
Yeah, one component boson.
Time
reversal just b go to b. Yeah, because actually b has a real imaginary part. If b go to b, it means the imaginary part must change sign. Okay. So yeah, the one of the two components must change sign on time reversal. Yeah. Okay, so we can use the same trick, same strategy, write down the wave function of many different SPT. For example, this is a Z2 cross Z2 SPT in three dimensions, which is started by these people. Using decorated domain wall construction, and they also write down the wave function is actually a superposition of all the configuration with a minus one to the intersection between two Z2 domain wall, because one Z2 can have a domain wall, the other can have another Z2 domain wall, and if they intersect, it's a minus one to intersection number. So we can start with this field theory, which again is the old final sigma model with Fiat 2 pi. We can start with the same field theory and actually derive this wave function. Okay, play the same trick as I did before. We can derive the wave function from this from the field theory. So actually, we can almost derive all the wave function for all the SPT using this field theory.
You mean the same field theory?
Oh, but they, Z2 they transform differently. Like the Z2 cross Z2 means that the two component chain size on the Z2 and the four component chain size on the other Z2. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, the field theory is the same, but the transformation is different for different components. Yeah, okay, so this is the wave function part of my talk. So if no question, I'm gonna move on to the next part, which is the line defects, okay, line defects of the SPT phase. So, so 5 minutes to what? Really? It's only 2:30. It's only 2:30. Yeah. Okay. I have 10 minutes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So. So top load insulator. Okay. Good. Great. Great. 10 minutes to question. Is that right? Okay. So 3D SPT phase, by definition, as I said, must have a two-dimensional non-trivial boundary. But actually, I suppose I create a line defect and try to show the line defect must also have some non-trivial spectrum. So actually, in ordinary free fermion top-load insulator, the line defect and the point defect has been studied by many people. Actually, if I take a two-dimensional quantum spin Hall insulator and I gauge it, I couple it with a Z2 gauge field, then the Vison in the system must be a Kramer doublet, because system has a time reversal symmetry. So the Vison will be a Kramer doublet. And also, if I insert a Vison loop or some dislocation line in a 3D SPT, that line defect will also be gapless. It also must be gapless. So let me try to study whether the same phenomenon can be generalized to bosonic SPT or not. So let me again consider the same old SPT, the U1 cross U1 semi-reduced time reversal SPT. Use this field theory. So again, the five component field theory is a phi zero and a real imaginary part of B1 and B2. So now let me try to couple it to something. Let me couple B1 to a Z2 gauge field. And insert a Vison line of the Z2 gauge field. Okay? So for people who study Z2 gauge field, a lot of you will know that if I couple a boson to a Z2 gauge field, then the Vison or the Vison line will be bounded with a half vortex or the half vortex line of the boson. Okay? Half vortex line. So there's a picture here. So if this is a Vison line, then it means that the B1 boson will rotate by pi will encircle the full circle here. So it means that the vector will have opposite direction when make a full circle around the Vison line. Okay. So it means the Vison line actually is a defect. It's a defect of a B1. It means that along the Vison line, the five component vector must be aligned along N3, N4, and N5 component. Okay? So this means that if I want to write down a field theory, a 1 plus 1 dimensional field theory along the Weisson line, in the field theory, must be an O3 non-Sigma model, because now along the Weisson line, the vector only align along 3, 4, 5 component. Okay, so it must become an O3 non-Sigma model. And also, because of this theta term, if N1 and N2 has a half vortex around the Weisson line, you know, I can derive an effective theta term along this Weisson line theory. It turns out that if I calculate, I can show that along the Weisson line, the 1+1 dimensional field theory along the Weisson line, we have an O3 non-Sigma model with precisely theta equals pi. The theta equals pi comes from the half vortex, because the half vortex vorticity will be pi. It comes from that. And also, theta equals pi along the Weisson line actually is protected by time inversal symmetry. Okay? As long as I have time inversal symmetry, the theta will be fixed at pi. So as long as I preserve time inversal, it means that this theory will always be theta pi for O3 non-Sigma model. And we all know that this theory must be either gapless or degenerate. It corresponds to one-dimensional spin half chain. Okay? So this means that in this very simple example, because the Weisson line is bound with the half vortex, the Weisson line must be either gapless or degenerate. Okay, so we know that in a 1+1 dimensional O3 non-Sigma model, the reason theta of the pi gives me a gapless or degenerate spectrum is because there's a destructive interference between even number of instanton and odd number of instanton. So that means that you have to consider what does the instanton fluctuation mean along this Weisson line. So it turns out in this system, if I consider a Weisson loop, then the O3 instanton fluctuation along the Weisson loop corresponds to moving a hedgehog of the N3, N4, N5 through this Weisson loop. Okay? If I take a Weisson loop and I punch it with a hedgehog monopole of N3, N4, N5, this process corresponds to an instanton in the 1+1 dimensional space-time of the Weisson loop, right? Because actually, if I do this, it means the Weisson loop will sweep over the instanton configuration. Will sweep over instanton configuration. Okay, because we are considering an insulator, it means that it's a disordered phase. It means that all the vector n are disordered. It means the monopole are strongly fluctuating. Because the monopole is strongly fluctuating, the instanton fluctuation along the in the 1+1 dimensional Weisson line space time will also strongly fluctuate. Okay, that's why actually we get some kind of strongly fluctuating, you know, gapless space along the Weisson loop. Again, this hedgehog monopole is also charge neutral. Again, charge neutral for the same reason as I mentioned before. It's also charge neutral. Okay, turns out that we can generalize the same simple picture to many other SPT phase with a U1 symmetry. As long as the SPT, as long as SPT has symmetry, the U1, for example, U1 symmetry is Z2, we can do the same analysis. The U1 part will always be bound with a Weisson line. So actually along the Weisson line, it will generate a O3 non-Sigma model with theta of the pi protected by some symmetry. Okay, it always works. Okay, but what if the system only have a discrete symmetry? Let me consider a system with only discrete symmetry. Consider a 3D SPT phase with only Z2 cross time inversal symmetry. I claim that the system can still be described by the same O5 non-Sigma model with a theta equal 2 pi, but now the 5 component vector n will transform like this. Under Z2, N4 and N5 will change sign, and under Z2 time reversal, all 5 components will change sign. Okay? Because now the symmetry only has discrete symmetry, the half vortex picture may not totally apply here. So let me give up the half vortex line picture and try to derive the same result using some other tricks. Let me try to derive the same using some other tricks. Okay? Let me still try to argue the Weisson line must be either gapless or degenerate. So here I want to say that this model can in principle be realized as a spin system, because now this Z2 can be viewed as a pi rotation around SZ. And actually the time inversal just change the sign of all the spin component. And Z2 is a pi rotation around SZ. So it means that I can couple N4 and N5 to a Z2 gauge field, and couple N4 and N5 to a Z2 gauge field on the lattice. Okay, so here's how I want to start it. Let me start with a three-dimensional bulk. I'll start with a three-dimensional bulk system. And I cut system open as the Z equals zero. I cut system open as Z equals zero. Okay, so now if I cut system, it will expose two boundaries. So this is the boundary for the top half SPT phase, and this is the boundary for the lower half SPT phase. Okay, so once I cut it, each boundary will be described by a 2+1 dimensional O5 non-Sigma model with Weisson-Witten term k equals to plus minus 1. As the upper bound rate k equals 1 as a lower bound corresponding to k equals minus 1. Okay, described by two different 2 plus 1 dimensional non-linear model with k equals plus minus 1. So now, let me do the same thing as I did before. Let me integrate out n phi. Let me integrate out n phi. Then both boundaries are described by an O4 nonlinear sigma model with a theta equals to pi and a minus pi respectively. Okay, let's say with a pi and a minus pi respectively. So now let me re-glue the two boundaries together. Glue the two boundaries together. But I want to glue it in the way that I insert a Vison line here. Okay? If I want to insert a Vison line at x equals 0, it means that I have to glue the two boundaries in with a domain wall. Okay? It means that this side, I glue them ferromagnetically, and on this side, I glue them anti-ferromagnetically. So once you do that, you will see that this side eventually reduced to a 2 plus 1 dimensional O4 theory with a theta equals 0. But this side reduced to a 2 plus 1 dimensional O4 theory with a theta equals 2 pi. And we all know that as the boundary between theta equals 0 and 2 pi, there must be a gapless edge. There must be a gapless edge. Okay. So using this structure, I can show that this theory after gauge also has a, in the Vison line also has to be either gapless degenerate. Okay. So this picture is very much similar to coupling two spin one half chains together. If I give you two spin one half chain, I want to couple them like this. So this side I couple them anti-ferromagnetically, and this side I couple them ferromagnetically. Then you can see that this side becomes a spin zero chain, and this side becomes a spin one chain. And we all know that as the domain wall between spin zero and spin one chain, there must be a spin one half Cramer doublet. Okay, so the same picture. So here it just, I mean, it's a domain wall, and we have a spin half here. And in the previous slide, I also glue them with a domain wall. So so along the Vison line, it must be gapless or degenerate. Okay, same kind of picture.
So here
I only turn on a vertical ferromagnetic coupling. So this red bond means singlet. So it means that it's a spin one chain from singlet this way, you know. So just spin one half.
Okay.
Yeah, spin one half. Yeah. So how much time do we
have?
2 minutes. Great. So I can start another story. Yeah. I can sacrifice another minute from the Okay. So this is the line defect process. So let me go on the final part. Let me discuss a three-dimensional SPT, which is my favorite SPT. It has a non-abelian symmetry. So this is the first thing I did about a 3D SPT. So I try to generalize the Hodan phase to higher dimension. So let me ask, what is the key of the Hodan phase? Okay. So the key of the Hodan phase is that it's a nonlinear sigma model with just a nail order parameter. It's just a nail order parameter. A nail order parameter for SU2 spin system has a manifold S2. And because the pi 2 S2 has z, is z, it means that in the one spun dimensional space time, I can write down a theta term for the nonlinear sigma model. Okay, so generalize to higher dimension, the only thing I have to do is to look for a spin system whose nail order has some larger homotopy group. For example, in three-dimensional system, if I want to find an analog for the Hodan phase, I just have to find a spin system whose nail order manifold has a pi 4 equals z. Okay? So this does not work for SU2 spin, because for SU2 spin, the manifold S2 and a pi 4 S2 equals z2, so I don't have a theta term in the 3 plus 1 dimension. But actually, it turns out as long as we are willing to deal with a larger spin symmetry, if I want to deal with the SUN spin with n greater than 2, it's almost always true. The almost always true that its nail order has a pi 4 equals z. For example, for SUN spin system with n greater than 2, this is the nail order manifold. It's UN model UM cross UN minus m. And then this manifold, as long as n greater than 2 and m greater than 1, this manifold always had a pi 4 equals z. It means that if I consider SUN spin system, and I start from a nail order parameter, I can always write down a 3 plus 1 dimensional theta term. Okay? So it turns out this is a field theory for the 3 plus 1 dimensional SPT phase with the SU2N symmetry, and then P is the nail order parameter. And we have a theta term here because the pi 4 of the manifold is always z. And actually, we can argue that this system, the 3 plus 1 field theory, will give me a non-trivial boundary, and also the boundary cannot be realized as a 2 plus 1 dimensional system. So this can all be done at the field theory level. I think I will stop here. So.
Do we have time for discussions? Magic?
So let me quick understand. So if you take one of these three-dimensional SPTs with in which the surface is the gap topologically, intrinsically topological ordered state, and then you punch a one-dimensional hole through it, and maybe you put some pi flux through there. Are you saying it has to be gapless?
No, depending on SPT. I'm not saying all SPT will have a gapless Weisson line, but for many of them do.
It seems like any of them in three dimensions I could have a topologically a gapped surface in intrinsic topological order. And then if I put a hole through those, I don't see why it would have to be gapless. Maybe degenerate.
Yeah, it could be degenerate. Yeah, precisely. It could be degenerate. Yeah, it could be degenerate.
The question is, I don't know whether I feel sometimes it's a field theory work, some doesn't work. In a sense, for the SU2 symmetry, I think this is pi four to S3 is a non trivial.
It's D2. Yeah, it's pi four S3 is D2.
But whether that topological term would give you something, the thing is that sometimes you can have a SU2 is the case. In principle, you can have some kind of topological term.
Yes.
But from a cohomology point of view, the SU2 have nothing in three dimension.
Right.
So whether there's some way to know that certain field theory topological term can give rise to a non-trivial phase, The example you have is that all those field theory topological terms somehow led to some kind of non-trivial SPD phase. But whether there's some very special property of this field theory topological term you so that they do give rise to non-trivial.
Well, so far all the field theory have pi something equals to z.
I see.
Yeah. So pi 4 SU2 equals z2, but I don't even know how to write down such term. Actually.
I see.
you may have to fractionalize it and write down a fractionalized variable. So but so far all the field which works have a pi has homotopy equals z.
I see.
Yeah.
Is that like the SO street that very Taiwan?
Yeah. Yeah, right. I see.
Uh-huh. So, in your last example with the SP4 splits, is it not possible to reduce the symmetry down and preserve the SPT structure?
Yes, yeah, possible. Yeah, possible.
Particularly, you could reduce it down to SU2, maybe?
SU2 cross SU2.
SU2. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, because SU2 has no SPT based on.
SU2 cross some set of discrete symmetry.
Yeah, SU2 cross it across D2, for example. So, it will remain, it will keep their SPTs. Structure.
You will need two SUs.
Yes, because the one SU does not have a SPT in 3+1 dimension.
So this Gibson lines are the endpoints of some domain work, right?
Weisson
lines.
Yeah.
If I can think of them, if I don't gauge this issue, I can just think of them as endpoints of a domain work. Where
Yes, precisely, yeah.
Can I interpret the statement that these Weisson lines must be gapless?
That's a very good point. So in that decorated the domain wall construction, indeed. For example, indeed, a domain wall of one z2 is the SPT of another z2. In that case, you can argue if you gauge one z2, the boundary Weisson line will be boundary of the other SPT phase, so it must be gapless degenerate. I forgot to mention just all the examples I discussed here cannot be understood that way. Yeah, all examples here cannot be understood using domain wall SPT picture. They cannot. Yeah, so these examples are beyond that picture.
So you mentioned the ribbon, but they are attached to the boundary. I'm wondering whether by maybe enlarging the one individual some SPT you can allow the monocle to move in the ball. Like the end point of the ribbon is like a monocle.
Yes, it's a monocle, right.
So is it possible to have these monocles moving in the ball? We know in general that being 3+1 can have some kind of natural statistic if we have ribbon.
Yeah, I mean, they are SPT. They are SPT. It means that nothing in the ball can be fermion. So here, these are bulk source, they are bulk endpoint, but because I only because I couple them with a gauge field. Here I gauge the U1, so the bulk can have a source. But actually, if you don't gauge them, actually this N-word cannot be in the bulk. Otherwise, you create some fermion in the boson SPD phase, which is the it cannot happen. So.
No more questions. Thank you once again.